Hello everyone, my name is Amanda Ostrander. I am a teacher turned homeschool mom, and this is the Raising A to Z Homeschool Podcast. And today I'm going to share with you my top 10 budget tips for homeschoolers. It is coming up on that time of year where a lot of homeschoolers are starting to look and think about what next year might look like and starting to think about what next year's curriculum options might be and what they might need to purchase, what they might need to get. And so I thought it'd be a great time to talk about some tips for homeschooling on a budget. So today I'm going to share my top 10 tips for homeschooling on a budget, things that are just like practical, easy, make sense, but make a big difference. Tip number one, have a plan. By having a plan, I mean take some time to sit down, go through what your next year you're hoping it looks like, kind of figuring out what you want to study, when, where your kids are at, what you're going to need, what you think they'll get through. Come out with like a realistic plan, because I know so many parents who are just like every month they have no idea what's happening next. Every time there's a new, they finish something, they're like, what's the next plan? And that is when you start having to buy things kind of like last minute, and like you can't wait for a sale, or you can't, you know, wait for something to come up. You're kind of buying random materials all the time. There's, when you're doing those kinds of things, you're paying for extra shipping, you're doing all these things. So by generally having a plan of like what you want to do over the course of a year, what you might need, what novels you might cover, by having a general plan, you can plan ahead and you can do some of the other tips that are coming up to kind of mitigate some of those costs. I know I'm a little extreme in that I generally sit down and plan a whole year of like what we're going to do from September to June. That video is coming up. Stay tuned. But even just planning like a couple months in advance, like if you're like a Unistay fan like we are, and like saying, hey, I'm going to figure out what we're doing from September to December, and just having that plan of like, this is what we're doing for the first couple months, A, makes your life so much better, and B, it actually lets you like plan a few things out. It lets you take advantage of things that are sales that are coming up. It lets you do a lot of things, and then you're not scrambling to buy things last minute and often end up having to pay extra for things like the more expensive product, things that aren't on sale, shipping costs, all of those things. So having a plan is the number one tip that I have. Number two, have a budget. I can't tell you how my parents I know don't have a budget, or think they have a budget and don't actually know what the budget is, or like just buy and then are like, oh, maybe I didn't like that, or maybe I didn't need that. So having a budget is just, I mean, when I say have a budget, I have an actual dollar amount that you want to spend per kid for a year, or for your family for a year. I think family works a little bit better, personally, because your younger ones typically need less curriculum, or their curriculum is less expensive, or there's a lot more options out there. And as you get older, older kids need more, and it tends to get more expensive. So like by having like a family budget, you can kind of like borrow from one kid to the other in terms of like your costs for things. But having a dollar amount, like this is what we're hoping to spend for this year, this is my expectation, and trying to stick as close to that is really a good idea. For us, in my head, my budget's around $2,000 for a year for both my kids. But that also includes, like, I consider that their whole homeschooling budget. So not just curriculum. I'm considering that school supplies, that's gymnastics classes, that's our science center membership, that's soccer, like girl guides. That's all of it. That's all their extracurriculars, co-op membership fees, like all that. So when you take into account that I have two kids doing gymnastics for 9 months a year, plus soccer, plus girl guides, plus like it ends up being a pretty reasonable budget. But just by having a number in your head, it makes it a little bit easier when it comes to like doing the actual shopping and doing the actual purchasing of curriculum. That can be helpful. So having a budget is have a number, have a real number in your head of like what you are comfortable spending. Number three, prioritize. What I mean by this is when you're looking at curriculum, especially because I know this is where a lot of parents feel like this is the best place to save money. When you're looking at curriculum, decide what is the, where you want to put your money. So for example, I often recommend to most parents that you probably want to put more of your like curriculum budget into something like math, because a lot of parents don't feel like they are adequately prepared to teach math on their own. And so like parents often want like extra support when it comes to math. That's typically what I see as a homeschool coach. That would be an area where say like, hey, you might want to put like 30, 40, 50% of your budget towards something like math, where you as the parent feel like you need the extra support to teach that subject, versus something like science, because science is everywhere, but you can find so many great science units for next to nothing. Like in terms of like the cost of materials, sometimes that's like, while you could definitely go out and buy a $200 science curriculum for the whole year, and it would be fantastic. If you're saying like math is not my strong suit and I really, it makes me nervous to teach math, it might make more sense to invest that money in something like that versus, like I said, science or social studies or history, where you can find lots of great unit studies, novel studies, things like that for relatively inexpensive costs. Like you can find a science unit on Teachers Pay Teachers for like $5 to $10. And potentially, depending on how many kids you have in the age range, teach both your kids for that unit study cost. So definitely figure out where your priorities are going to be in terms of curriculum and allocate money kind of that way. And then start by spending, buy the big thing first, and then trickle down and move it towards, like, move down your list of priorities. Number four, teach as a family. If there are things that you can do as a family, do them. There are a lot of like programs out there and unit studies where you can teach multiple kids, multiple age ranges with one program. These are great because they do save your budget quite a bit. We've been starting using Brave Writer, and Brave Writer is technically for, like, we're using the DART level, is like ages 8 to 10. I am tempted, actually, I'm thinking about like maybe using it with Zoe, who would be age 7 next year, and just having her do like less spelling words or less, like cutting the sections in half and stuff, because then I could buy one program and teach both my kids the same lessons and the same unit and read the same book and still get like the most bang for my buck out of it in that sense. I also do this with all of my social studies, all of my science, all of my history, my geography. We're doing one lesson, and I just expect less from Zoe and more from Lexi. That's just kind of how I run it. But there are also a lot of programs where they have different levels when you purchase a unit, and it has different levels for different kids. And so by doing that, you are, like I said, you're purchasing once and you can use it across the board. Number five, buy used. There are some great used products out there. Don't be afraid to buy used. There are like used curriculum sales where people are selling kind of their old curriculum books, or they're selling like their old math manipulatives or blocks or shapes, 3D shapes. They have their own old books. They're like, I've bought so many things that are like used from friends or whatever, and it saves a lot of money. I'm also a huge fan of like the thrift store, or for like me in particular, we don't have great thrift stores here in Sudbury, unfortunately. There are some, but like they're not great. But I am a huge fan of the used bookstore. There's one here in Sudbury, Bay Used Books, that we use. I'm at there all the time. And then if I'm ever heading down south, I always stop at the one in Parry Sound. I think it's called Barely Used Books, with like a bear. Anyway, I'm at the used bookstore constantly because I can find some really great options for books. I just pulled a couple from Bay Used, which is great. Like some bookstores, you can like send them a list of what you're looking for, and they'll just like pull whatever they have in their stock, and then you just pick it up, which is really, really nice. So I just did that, and I sent a list. They had three of like the 7 titles that I had, but like some of these books came in at like $3, and the cover price is like $15, $20, $25. One of them's a hard-covered book. The price on the cover is $17.95. I got it for like $4.99. Like that's a huge difference, and it's a book. Like that's great. Definitely like buy used if you can. There's some great things out there. And sometimes it's just fun to go to like a curriculum sale. Not gonna lie. Definitely if your area has like a homeschool curriculum sale, for Use curriculum, go check it out because people are selling off some cool stuff, like really cool stuff. And it's gonna be way cheaper than buying it new. Number six, use your library. Libraries are fundamentally underutilized. I think homeschoolers do a better job than most groups in terms of utilizing the library, but like, don't be afraid to like check out what your library actually has to offer. And I don't mean just books or computer services, which I think most people think of. Yes, books are great. I get books from the library all the time. I send in my little, like, I go on and like reserve my books and they like pull them all and it's just waiting for me at a pile at the library checkout, which I absolutely love. Super great. But like, they have so many cool things happening at the library. We did a whole month of like classes at the library for free. All I had to do was register. The kids did like snowflake art. They did book binding. They did, they did like a clay class. They did that. I have them signed up for making paper, like a paper making class in a week or two. Like, there's so many cool things that are happening in your library. So classes are almost one of them. Summer programs. A lot of them have like free summer programs, concerts, weekend activities. There's a science club in town at one of the libraries. That's super cool. Other things you can get from your library that are just fantastic. You can get, if you want to grow gardens, you can get seeds from the library. You can get, some libraries have like games, toys, or puzzles that you can like check out and borrow. Another thing that our library does is like winter sporting equipment. So I think you can check out snowshoes and like go snowshoeing in the woods. And then also like during the summer, ours library does provincial park passes. So you can check out a provincial park and pass and then go, I think you have it for 7 days and you can go visit however many provincial parks you want to go to for that 7 days. That's a fairly big expense. And like, I don't know if you've been to a provincial park lately, but they're not, even like day pass use is not cheap. And this would be like a great way to like go and do that and not have to pay. It's literally free. You just have to bring it back at the end. I personally, when I do my book orders and I pick them up from the library, I get really excited because our library has started the thing where you get your slip that has all your books that you checked out, obviously. But at the bottom, it says how much you save versus buying them new. And I'm just like so excited every time to see like how big that number at the end is. And like monthly, like when I do my monthly book run, I'm averaging like $200 to $300 is like, this is how much you saved. Anyway, it's a little thing. It makes me very excited. Definitely check out your local library and see everything that's happening there because there's a lot and not enough people utilize what's happening in their libraries. Number seven, consider a membership. This is something that I've been doing kind of even before we started homeschooling was we got memberships to things. And the reason why I'm a big fan of a membership is sometimes people don't do the math of how often or how expensive it is to visit a place. Visiting certain places is so expensive. Whether it is your science center, your local zoo, art gallery, like whatever your museum, whatever you're visiting, chances are it's not cheap. Especially if you're going with like, you know, me and two kids. I figured our science membership was like $15. No, it was $20 for each kid. And I think I was like $27. So it was like $50 a trip for me and my two kids to go to the science center. A membership was like $170. I'm like, we have to go 4 times in a whole year and we've covered the cost of our membership. And it's a local place. We go all the time and it would become an easy like rainy day activity. It'd become an easy thing for us to go do like when we just need to do something different for a day. Like it would become an easy field trip and then you've already, like, it's a way less cost. Like, the cost drops significantly. We have gamed the system a few times. By that, I mean, because my husband's a teacher, when he's off during March break, we actually did it once where I got a deal on a 2-year membership to the zoo in Toronto, which is nowhere near us. It's a 4-hour drive. But I got this deal where the cost of the membership, I figured out, we had to go to the zoo 4 times over 2 years to make the cost of the member, 4 or 5 times over 2 years to make the cost of the membership work. And so I booked it in March break. Like I bought it over March break And then we ended up getting 3 March breaks out of it because, like, the way we figured it out that, like, the first time we went at the end of the March break, then the next time we went next year, we went in the middle of the March break, and then the next time we went at the beginning of the March break. So we got 3 March breaks out of it, plus 2 summers. And my sister lived down south, so, like, whenever we were passing through on our way to her place, we'd stop and, like, go to the zoo, and then we'd stop on the way back and do a different part of the zoo. So sometimes it makes a lot more sense to, like, get the membership than to, like, go. One time I figured out to go to the aquarium. We did the aquarium once. The membership, we had to go twice in a year to get the cost of a membership for a family of four. It was actually cheaper than two visits a year. So definitely look at a membership. The other nice thing, like I said, it becomes an easy field trip. It becomes an easy place to go if it's local, like, to just get out of the house and do something different. And what we have kind of done is we pick one membership for the year. So right now we have the Science Center membership. So, like, we're going to use the Science Center membership. That's kind of where we're going to go. That's the focus of what we're doing for this year. And then when that one is done, we will look at, like, a different membership. So, like, maybe the year after we'll do the zoo again, or maybe we'll do something else. And so that kind of gives us, like, we're rotating through different memberships, and so that things always stay fresh and new rather than, like, always getting, like, 4 or 5 memberships. So definitely look at the cost of a membership, especially if you're in an area where it has lots of things, lots of activities for kids. And sometimes those memberships have really cool benefits. Like, when you get a membership for a science center, there's a lot of memberships, a lot of science centers that have, like, an agreement that if you go to their science center, it's free to visit them too. So when we go to the science center here, we can also visit the science center in Toronto and Ottawa and BC and, like, all different places too. So it takes a little investigation. It takes a little bit of, like, research, but it can be a really great way to get out of the house, do something cool and educational, and not cost you a ton of money. Number 8 is all about sales. Not enough people take advantage of sales. If there is a curriculum company that you love or a store that you love to purchase from, I have 2 email addresses. One is, like, my regular email. The other one is a different email where I just sign up for, like, emails from companies. And when I'm no longer interested in a company, I delete it off of the list. But in that second email, I get all kinds, like, it's where I love, like, to get my chapters, like, Chapters Indigo sends me an email. The Learning House sends me an email. The Good and the Beautiful sends me an email. Old Navy sends me, that's where all those things go. And I get to, like, I can kind of see when there are going to be promotions and things that are going to be able to, I can get, like, the biggest bang for my buck. And that can make a huge difference in terms of being able to save a little bit of money. If you are planning ahead, like I said, in tip 1, and you sign up for these things early, you can, like, sit around and you have the ability to wait until a sale comes up. So even when you have a company that doesn't have a ton of, like, products that go on sale, but maybe they run things like a free shipping event or something like that, you can still save a significant amount of money by waiting for a sale and kind of doing a bigger bulk order if you're going to get free shipping or something like that. Another thing people don't take advantage of enough as homeschoolers is, like, back to school sale time. The cost of school supplies is astronomical these days. Like, everything's up. I understand that. But, like, school supplies, back to school time, if you can stock up on a couple things, pencils, markers, pencil crayons, paper, like, all those things are going to be way cheaper in August and early September than they will be any other time of the year. Every year, a back to school time, Crayola markers, the standard pack goes on sale for $1.99 at Walmart every year. If you try to buy Crayola markers, that exact same pack, in October, November, March, it is going to cost you minimum $6.99, $4 more. So what I do is I look at things that we use a lot and go through a lot. So we typically go through about, sometimes it does take a little bit of, like, getting to know your kids a bit, but we go through, I figured out my kids go through, I want to say 6 packs of markers a year, 1 or 2 packs of pencils, pencil crayons, how much paper they go through, and I will buy it all in September. And then they have it throughout the year, and it makes, yeah, then it actually saves me a ton of money that way. Cause you think if we're going through 6 packs of markers and I'm saving $4 to $5 a pack, that's $30 in savings just on markers. So sometimes it makes sense to stock up. Sometimes it makes sense to wait for that sale. So don't be afraid to do that. Number 9, look for cheap socialization. There are a lot of classes and activities out there for homeschoolers, but they do cost money. And there's a lot of like after school activities and regular extracurriculars, but they do cost money. And sometimes you have to be practical about what you can afford and what you're willing to invest your time and energy into. And sometimes it makes sense to look for things that are a little more on the inexpensive side, especially if you're on a tight budget, and like we all are these days. So for example, hockey, I think hockey costs like almost $5,000 a year. Girl Guides costs $189 per kid. Two totally different price ranges. And that is the same length of time. Actually, I think Girl Guides is longer. So sometimes it is about looking for different activities that are going to be within your budget. And sometimes it's about being creative. So like I said, hockey versus other sports, hockey might not be a great fit for your family if you're on a budget. It's an expensive sport, but there are a lot of other recreations out there that are far less expensive. My kids do a kids choir at church, totally free. We go to gymnastics, which we do pay for and is a regular cost, but it is significantly less than most people, most than a lot of other activities. My kids do Girl Guides, which I said is under $200 a kid, September through to the end of May. And what else do we do? Oh, we do co-ops. We do pay co-op fees, but it's $90 for the year for my whole family to go to co-op. Those are significantly less expensive than, you know, doing hockey or doing like a competitive team of something else. So sometimes it is about looking for a less expensive option. Sometimes it's about shopping around. For example, soccer. Soccer in our area in the city is over $200 a kid. Soccer on the outskirts can be as low as $30 a kid. If you're willing to do that little bit of driving, you can get a significantly better price on socialization activities for your kids, and they still get to play all those sports and all the activities. It just costs a little bit less. So definitely see if you can find places where you can do cheaper extracurriculars, cheaper activities, and then don't discount like play dates or like park meetups or going to the library to play board games with friends. You can definitely organize kind of like a free co-op if you wanted to, and that would be a lot less money. Ours only costs because we rent a clubhouse, and it's a, like I said, it's a ridiculously, I mean, pay $30 for basically $10 a month. And it's because we rent a little like community clubhouse once a week for the entire year. So we do have a little bit of a cost associated with that, but like there's a lot of places where you can, if you want to start a co-op and just like migrate from park to park, you can do that and it would be totally free. So definitely look for ways to be a little bit less expensive in terms of co-ops and socializations and things like that, because those can add up quickly if you have to pay for something constantly or if it's a very expensive activity. Number 10, my last tip is don't forget to use the holidays. I'm a huge fan of using the holidays, birthdays, Christmas, Easter, back to school. I'm trying to think what other holidays are. Anyway, using all of those things as little ways to kind of combine my homeschool budget. So for example, my kids, like I said, I buy a lot of supplies at back to school time. I buy extra back to school supplies, and those end up in my kids' stockings. They end up in their Easter baskets. They get a few, like, I might get a couple cool things back to school time that'll end up, like, they'll get for their birthdays. Sometimes my kids get memberships for their birthdays or Christmas. So I'm kind of combining Christmas budget, Easter, back to school, like all these budgets to kind of like make them a little bit more. And that kind of just like helps stretch their budget and gets, we can kind of do a little bit more. Memberships are another great thing to give, passes to go do a field trip or something. So we kind of like get like the two birds, one stone kind of situation. So don't discount holidays and birthdays. They can be a great way to like extend your budget a little bit. And then I'm going to give you a bonus tip. My bonus tip is free is great sometimes. If you can get things for free from friends who are giving things away or want to try something new, or they're done with it, they just want to get rid of it, awesome. Take it, try it, see if you like it. I'm always a little weary though when people say they want to homeschool for free and they're going to try to do everything for free when it comes to like getting all of their curriculum and all their math curriculum and their language, and they're going to do everything for free. Sometimes we have to take into account not only the cost of things, but also our time and energy. When I put together a unit for my kids, it takes a couple of hours to like get together all the materials, figure out like what books we're going to use, get all of like the spines ready, figure out like what kind of projects we're going to do. Like it does take time to do all of those things, and then you have to teach it on top of that. So sometimes it does make sense to put a little bit of money into something that's going to make your life easier rather than having to constantly put hours and hours of time and energy into building something just because you can do it for free. I have seen parents who have tried to do, like, for example, math, and they're just like, we're just going to do it off of free worksheets we find off the internet. And that is fine. It is possible. It is doable. It's just a lot of work and it's a lot of energy. And we want to sometimes be good conservators of our own mental and emotional energy and make sure that we're not just like doing things for free because it's free. We want to try to make sure that we're also taking care of ourselves and not burning ourselves out by having to spend hours and hours and hours getting a math program together when it's free, when there are some really inexpensive math programs out there where you could like Jump Math. If you wanted to spend next to nothing, it's, I think, $25 for the year. It would be a full math program for the year versus how much time and energy are you going to spend looking for and making sure you're covering all the topics you want to cover and doing all the printing everything off and all of that. So sometimes we do need to make sure that we're like taking into account our own time and energy. And while free is great, free can be super helpful, it is not the be all and end all and is not our goal. We need to make sure that we're keeping things practical and that we're taking care of ourselves too when we're doing that. So those are my top 10 budget tips for homeschoolers. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want more information and inspiration about homeschooling, make sure you are subscribed to the Raising A to Z Homeschool Podcast. And feel free to also follow me along on some of my social media platforms, such as Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram at Raising A to Z. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to talk with you guys next week.